Chair Albrecht?
Present.
Thank you. Regent Lozar?
I'm here.
Thank you. Regent Sheehy?
Here.
Thank you. Regent Greenfield?
Present.
Thank you. Regent Johnstone?
Present.
Thank you. Regent Nystuen?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you.
Thank you. Regent Tuss?
Here.
Thank you. Commissioner Christian is...
I'm here.
I believe Ms. Siri Smiley from the Governor's Office is joining us. Siri, are you on the line?
I'm here, Amy.
Thank you. And I believe we have Superintendent Armstrong from EI joining us today. Maybe in a minute.
Madam Chair, I believe we have all the regents present in the quorum. We can begin whenever you're ready.
Okay. Thank you, Commissioner. Good morning and welcome, everyone. Thank you for joining on this call for the Board of Regents conference call for July 18th. I would like to proceed with the agenda that has been posted. We will begin with the information items. And for item A, budget update, I would like to turn it over to Deputy Commissioner Tyler Trevor to give us an update.
Thank you, Madam Chair, morning regents and all. Just a brief update here on the budget while we have a chance in between the May and September board meetings to get everybody fully aware of our operating budgets and any changes that might have happened since May. And those changes we talked about in May were potential through Senate Bill 261, which contained statewide triggers associated with state revenue levels. And so on August 15th, those revenue levels are measured, and if they come in below a certain quantified amount in Senate Bill 261, there are some repercussions. We've received word from the governor's office that they're expecting state revenue to come in below these targets. We're at least planning for it. And so what does that mean for the university system, and how is this different from what we heard in May? So let's first start with the general fund reduction that's required in Senate Bill 261. That requires if revenue is below the targeted level, there will be a 5% reduction in each 0.5% reduction, excuse me, 0.5% reduction in each year of the biennium. That equates to $1.1 million in each year. So we are planning for and expecting that. We've informed campuses that this is the case, and that when they come to the September operating budget meeting, those reductions, and they're across the board, 0.5% all the way across, not just the campus budgets, but the entire MUS operating budget, that those would be reflected in our operating budget presentation. Also associated with the triggers is the pay plan, and if the levels are low as we expect them to be, the pay plan dollars for FY18 would be void, and that equates to roughly $1.1 million. And also for FY19, there would be a reduction from $3.5 million to $1.1, so a reduction of $2.4 million. And so we've instructed the campuses, if you remember in May, as a holding place for the pay plan, we budgeted for a 1% increase in FY18 and a 1% increase in FY19. With this news, we've instructed the campuses to come forth at the September meeting with a 0% increase for FY18. That doesn't necessarily mean that's where we end up. It's just what we are baseline planning is as of current operations and news. So these plans are across the board. As I mentioned before, we've submitted sort of the generic cuts that we have to the governor's office. We will fully detail those at the September operating budget presentation. Madam Chair, I also have an update on the voluntary employee reduction incentive program that we have in place, but I might pause there to see if there are any questions related to the revenue triggers.
Any questions from members of the board or the public? Seeing none, go ahead and proceed, Deputy Commissioner Trevor.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Continuing on with the VRIP, as we call it, Voluntary Employment Reduction Incentive Program at the University of Montana. This is an update following on from the May board meeting. We started with round one, which included all individuals that were 65 years and older, sent out a blanket offer to them. 12 out of the 48 have indicated that they are interested in and willing to accept this. We have a couple weeks left in this program before we finalize these numbers. We also went with a round two sometime in June that offered to all individuals 60 to 64 the identical offer, essentially. And we've received a handful of interested individuals there, so we're waiting another couple weeks here. It looks like the total would be somewhere near 20, the totaling amount of a salary buyout in the neighborhood of $1.6 million. As you recall, our standing offer was half of their salary bought out, used from the appropriation that we received from the legislature. So we would be using up roughly $800,000 to $900,000 of that appropriation. If all of these interested parties actually come to fruition. Madam Chair, that concludes my report on the voluntary retirement program.
Thank you, Deputy Commissioner Trevor. Other questions?
Madam Chair, this is Regent Johnstone. Deputy Chair or Deputy Commissioner, how much longer do you expect to keep the round two open? Is there a reason to extend it further in order to see if we could get more participants?
Madam Chair, Regent Johnstone, actually, the law requires that it would be open for 45 days, and while I don't have the exact deadline on this, it is within a week or two from now, I believe. We do have the possibilities for extending it, and I think those are something we could consider.
Thank you.
Regent Lozar?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just in terms of refreshing me on the background, what was the total appropriation that was provided for the Volunteer Reduction Employment Plan? And should we not reach the volume of that appropriation, what is the requirements of use of funds around that as it relates to going on a round three or perhaps looking at other institutions?
Madam Chair, Regent Lozar, the total amount of the appropriation is $2 million. So following these two rounds, we would have $1.1 million roughly left. I think that the language in the appropriation gives us the flexibility for a third round or other alternatives. And I think all ideas are on the board, on the table, and being considered.
Madam Chair, Regent Lozar, if I could just add to that, my sense is sort of the intent and the legislators we worked with that we would try to exhaust our efforts at Missoula, and we're actively working with Missoula on, you know, what the possibility of picking up more individuals would be if we extend or do another round or some of those other options, and I think we will look at those and see what options are and what the likelihood that we could capture more if we take some of those options, and if not, we certainly have the flexibility that we may potentially get to a spot where if we've exhausted our efforts in Missoula, that we would offer them at some of the other campuses.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Thank you, Commissioner. Are there any additional comments by other members of the board?
I have a question. This is Martha.
Regent Sheehy.
Commissioner, do we have a method of determining if we do go to other institutions and in which order?
Madam Chair, Regent Sheehy, we do not at this time. You know, we just haven't got to that step.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Other comments or questions? Additional comments or questions from members of the board, campuses, or the public? Okay, seeing none, thank you, Deputy Commissioner Trevor. I would move on to item B, which is our campus reports. We are not going to go through those in detail. I just would welcome everyone to take the time to read through those and thank all the campuses for the outstanding work that is being done across our state. I'd also like to thank the Montana Bureau of Mines and Geology for their recent work on our little rumbling across Montana. Interesting to have an earthquake and then analysis by our very own Montana Bureau of Mines and Geology. So grateful for that work. At this point, I would like to move into the action items, and I would ask our Chief Legal Counsel, Viv Hamill, to tee us off with item A, UM Foundation contract extension.
Madam Chair, this is Viv Hamill, members of the board. My comments actually go to both items A and B. We traditionally roll over these contracts every 2 years, don't take a hard look at the language in them, don't sit down with the commissioner and the presidents and myself and with the board chair of the foundations and the staff and talk about what's working well and what's not working well, what language we may or may not want to change. And they keep getting away from us every 2 years. So these two items are on there so that we can extend the language in the current contracts and the same dollars in the UM and a little bit of an increase in the MSU one so that we can have that conversation hopefully before the September board meeting or certainly before the November board meeting. So at one of those two meetings we can come forward with, after having put the brakes on a little bit, had the conversations, worked out any communication or issues or communicated anything that to the board and staff that we'd like to. And then at one of those two board meetings present a new draft for two-year approval for the board. I think if we don't do it now, it's just going to keep getting away from us every 2 years. And I know it's a little awkward to stop just at this point, but it makes sense to us to do that.
Thanks, Viv. Are there any questions from members of the board?
I have one.
Yes, Regent Sheehy.
Viv, is the delay in addressing this comprehensively, is it logistical? Is it just a matter of everybody getting together and being able to get the work done, or is there some legislative or legal hang-up along the route?
It's more getting the time, getting the meeting going to actually sit down together and have the conversation. More than, there's nothing legislative about stopping it. There's nothing in the legalities, although there is some language. As a lawyer, you know, you take a look at these agreements and go, I don't quite like that language. But that, you know, everybody else may say, oh, that's, you know, just let it go. But so there are just, it's not any impediment due to the session or any legality that's a real issue.
I realize how difficult it can be sometimes to get everyone together. I just want to make sure there wasn't an event or something that we're waiting for. Thank you for the information.
Thank you.
Other questions for members of the board? Additional comments or questions by members of the board, campuses, or the public on either of these items? Yes.
Chair Albrecht, this is Regent Greenfield.
Regent Greenfield.
I want to say I read through both of these two contracts before considering the motion to extend them. And there are a couple pieces missing that I think need to be addressed in both of these in their revamped versions, and I'll send those over to Deputy Commissioner Hamill for consideration and analysis. But I'm excited to see that these conversations are actually going to happen this year, and we can go through and extend these two contracts for the moment, in my view, and work through some kinks that I think need to be addressed to make sure we're in full compliance with Board Policy 901.9. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Regent Greenfield. Any other comments or questions?
Chair?
Yes.
Yeah, if it's appropriate, I would move to, this is Regent Tuss, I would move to approve this item.
Thank you. There is a motion to approve. Clarification, Regent Tuss, is this a motion to approve items A and B or individually?
Yeah, unless there is further conversation or questions from other members of the board or others, I would prefer that we include in that motion items A and B.
Okay. Other comments or questions? Further discussion from the members of the board? Further comments or questions from members of the public? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, no.
Aye.
Motion passes. Thank you. I would like to move on to item C, request for authorization to enter into off-campus lease for university support functions, MSU Bozeman. Commissioner Christian?
Madam Chair, thank you. And I can certainly hand this off to the campus. I would simply say we've looked at this. This is a project that has sort of been in the works for a while, and you know, as MSU has seen growth, and we've been moderately successful at adding new space on the campus, there's certainly congestion there that we're dealing with, and I truly believe that this is an item that OCHE can very much support. It does consolidate a lot of their sort of back office function, the admin function, if you will, into one area. It's in cooperation with the foundation, which makes a lot of sense. It's at favorable cost, and I just think it is really a favorable long-term plan where we're working more closely with the foundation on space that is currently available and that is sort of within the family, if you will, and allows for it to be right next to campus. There's not much of that land available or opportunity available, and so we're supportive of this item moving forward, and I would ask President Cruzado or Vice President Least if they want to add anything or speak to any of the details.
Sure. Madam Chair, members of the board, thank you so much, Commissioner Christian. I will ask Terry to provide us with more information, but the Commissioner has explained this project very, very well. You know, for a number of years, I would like to say for the last 5 to 6 years, we have been talking about how cramped some of our offices continue to be, and with the student enrollment growth, we need to be able to free up space in the heart of campus to hold that for the academic mission of Montana State and to provide students with adequate space. So this opportunity came at a very good time, and that's why we have moved forward. I stand for questions and also would like to add, Terry Lees, would you please also provide additional information?
Sure, Madam President, Madam Chair, members of the board. Yeah, this is Terry Lees at MSU. And I would just add to that, I think Commissioner Christian did an excellent job outlining what this is and why. It does give us an opportunity, as the President said, to take advantage of our very limited space and put that to use for the academic mission, specifically you know, our Office for International Programs has been in a very not a good space for years, and we need to do something there. It'll give us an opportunity to potentially take our financial aid office and connect it in the same location with student accounts and the registrar's office, so we're not pushing students back and forth across campus into different locations. And so those are a couple of the very positive effects with that. So we'll just stand for any questions that you might have and appreciate your consideration.
Thank you, Vice President Least. Are there any additional questions or comments by members of the board?
Madam Chair,
I have one.
I believe Regent Johnstone. Good thing I can sense your voices. Regent Johnstone, followed by Regent Sheehy.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I believe we received a letter from some of the existing tenants expressing concern about being relocated. Barry, could you comment on how you're working with them to address their concerns?
Yes, thank you, and Regent Johnstone, Madam Chair, and members of the board. We want to work with the current tenants. I mean, those leases are with the foundation. They're not with MSU, but it's certainly our desire because we want to occupy that space, obviously, for our needs. However, we'd like to transition those tenants, and we've reached out to them initially. If this lease were to be approved, we certainly will step those efforts up and try to help them find space if their lease goes on. There's really several of them are on month to month, but regardless of that, we want to make sure that these folks have an opportunity to at least have some transition time so that they can find longer term space. That would be the very minimum. But we want to work with them and intend to do so on a personal level once we know that this is approved by the board.
Thank you.
Regent Sheehy?
Bill asked my question. Thank you.
Okay. Questions from other members of the board?
Chair Albrecht.
Yes, Regent Greenfield.
Thank you. Thank you, President Cruzado and Vice President Least. My question is very similar concern. Very specific, though, their request was that at the end of one of the letters, they requested a possibility of a 4 to 6 month extension to help find adequate space for them to move into. Has that possibility been discussed on MSU's campus, and would it be a viable option for the university to wait a little bit longer on that?
Regent Greenfield and Madam Chair, members of the board, the discussions haven't taken place yet, so no, I mean, I was just made aware of this letter yesterday. Certainly we'll do our best to accommodate. As you know, I'm not even familiar with everything that these entities do, so they may have different needs individually. I think we just need to sit down with them and address that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Other questions or comments from members of the board? I actually would like to echo the question or put forth by Regent Greenfield that I would just encourage you to obviously understand and meet the needs of the existing tenants to ensure their successful transplant elsewhere, relocation. Certainly I understand their concerns that they put forth. So thank you for working with them and honoring the merits of their request. Any other additional comments or questions from members of the board, campuses, or the public on this item?
Yes, there's a question from a member of the public, please.
Yes, could you please state your name?
Madam Chair and members of the board, my name is Mike Hallett. I am the president, CEO, and founder of Omega Biologicals Incorporated. We are a biotech business and leaseholder in the Knopper building on the Advanced Technology Park in Bozeman. We sent the letter last Friday to the Regents requesting that they consider our needs before they make a decision. We have looked into availability of space around the Gallatin Valley, and the Knopper building cannot be reproduced at this time. It is possible to
convert the molecular bioscience building, which is across the parking lot from us, but the cost would be somewhere between $100,000 and $150,000 to do so. The needs that we have cannot be met anywhere. What we would request respectfully is that you postpone your decision until your next board meeting until MSU University Services has an opportunity to sit down with us individually and look at what we require. Is this a possibility to postpone this decision until your next meeting?
Thank you for your comments. At this point, I would just put it out to any additional comments or questions from members of the campuses or the public if they wish to add any commentary.
Madam Chairman, I have a comment.
Yes,
my name is Randy Witcherly, and I appreciate you offering us the ability to state our comments and our concerns. I'm with GTC Technology, and we've been in the Knocker building for 25 years, and I'd just like to comment that it seems like very much of a waste to take viable laboratory space and spend the capital when you have mentioned that you're working on a tight budget. But anyway, to spend that capital to convert viable laboratory space and research space into office space. Like I said, we've been here for 25 years, and it just seems like a real waste to do that. And we haven't been able to find any other place that where we can locate our business to without a very large capital expenditure on our part, which, you know, it doesn't look good for our future. Thank you.
Thank you. Additional comments from members of the campuses, board, or the public?
Madam Chair?
Yes, Regent Hess.
I'm not sure who this question is for, but I'm concerned about this effort, and I think all of us on the board take seriously the concerns that have been expressed to us via email and certainly the two comments we heard today. So I guess my question would be to whoever can answer it, what happens if we proceed with this? I mean, I understand the tightness of the space in the Gallatin Valley to replicate what is currently there for this very important research enterprise. Will these research efforts simply go away? I understand that if we find an adequate facility or space or building, we can move this, but there's costs obviously associated with that. But I'm a little worried about where we are with this. And maybe I'm not real articulate with this question, but will this research enterprise simply cease to exist if we can't find adequate space for that in a reasonable amount of time?
Thank you, Regent Tuss. Yes, Commissioner?
Madam Chair, Regent Tuss, I guess I would just offer a few thoughts. And clearly the campus and this office has been made aware of the concerns, and we share those concerns. We also have the paramount concern, which is how we best serve students. The location of this building and the nature and proximity to campus is incredibly important to us over the long run. I think we can offer assurance that the campus will do everything it can to reduce the impacts, but I don't know if we can answer the question for other entities that are outside of the MUS as to what exactly you know, these type of changes hold. The next item in front of you is also adding a research facility. You know, whether there's other options around campus, I think if there are, you'll find a campus at MSU that is more than willing to accommodate anything we can. But I guess Regent Tuss, sort of the notion that we as an entity would go or have a role in replicating the space, I don't want to leave that sort of out there hanging that we may do that. I don't think that that would probably be our role. I am clearly not insensitive to the impact that it has on the current tenants, but I also am not insensitive to the impact an additional 5,000-6,000 students has had on the MSU campus, and we have to find a way to serve those. And you know, I don't want to spend time on efforts, but you've got Romney and other things that were not supported that has left us grossly short of space in Bozeman, and we've got to make some tough decisions on how we're going to serve those students with the lack of other resources that have been made available to us. And so, you know, I hate that it sort of has a snowball effect, but we got to find a way to serve the students. The location is just second to none for us, and I think you've got assurance from this office and the campus that we'll absolutely do everything we possibly can to accommodate the relocations and even participate in helping them find suitable relocatable space if we possibly can. But I don't want to leave it where we're accepting the responsibility to build new space to relocate.
Regent
Lozar.
Thank you. I have a question for President Cruzado, Vice President Least. To sort of play the devil's advocate here, what were the plans should this not be approved today or extended for a period of time to still provide the services that the commissioner just spoke of?
Thank you very much, Mr. Regent and members of the board. Needless to say, we would not have brought this matter to the consideration of the Board of Regents if there was not a clear need on the part of the university, right? And as I mentioned before, this has been a conversation and a planning process that has been going on for years, where the university has really looked at every possible option that is available to us. I think it's also important to mention that this is about placing students at the center of our conversations, but that there are also some important considerations on the part of the foundation in regards to the timing of the lease. And I think that for that part of the conversation, Vice President Least, it's better qualified to provide additional answer to the board.
Yeah,
Vice President
you,
Least.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair, members of the board. So, yeah, I mean, this obviously we've been looking for space for, as the president mentioned, for quite some time, trying to figure out the best way to do this. Obviously, if we could find space in the Bozeman area through a third party, number one, we're definitely going to, you know, pay a much higher price. The location was not as convenient. This building does serve that. We have, to get into it at a very reasonable cost. And there's also, I mean, this is one of the legacy buildings of the technology park. And we would really like to keep that, obviously, in the family, as the commissioner mentioned. That building, and I also agree, respect these tenants greatly, but that's probably about 15% of that space approximately that we're talking about leasing. And so there's 85% right now that's not being used. And that burden is going to ultimately affect, you know, maybe potentially what the foundation does with that building. And if we were to lose the opportunity to sort of have our own control of the future rates of that building, that would be, I think, a sad thing for the university system and certainly for us. So that's my comment. Thank you.
Madam Chair, I want to be careful not to speak for the foundation, but to Terry's point, there has been conversations as to the future of that building, including some options vetted in terms of selling the building. to satisfy debt and other things, which I think if it moves outside of the university system, it spells some uncertainty in the future of the tenants that just spoke to you, and it certainly foregoes some options and opportunities that we may have as a system to keep that property that adjoins the main campus close at hand and available to us.
Thank you, Commissioner. Additional comments or questions from members of the board? The campuses are public.
Chair Albrecht, this is Regent Greenfield.
Yes, proceed.
If I may, so my question for President Cruzado and Vice President Lease is if a one meeting extension on this item would be a viable alternative so that more conversations can happen with current tenants to make sure we're addressing the needs of students but also not displacing research efforts in the Gallatin area at the same time.
Regent Greenfield, this is Terry Leeson, members of the board. You know, I, again, as speaking to what the commissioner just mentioned, and I can't speak for the foundation either, but it is my understanding that any further delay will potentially take this out of our hands, and that would be a sad thing, I think. So that's what I know at this point, is that I do feel that if it were delayed, that the decision point would go past. And,
I just wanted to add, Regent Greenfield and members of the board, I like you, we don't want to have situations in where it appears that the university is at odds with members of the community. Nothing further from who we are and the kind of relationships that we aspire to have, not only with those tenants, but with the people in the Gallatin Valley and in the state of Montana. Having said that, what I had heard from the foundation, and I don't know if we have any representatives from the foundation on the call, because they are the ones who can really provide more granularity to this. On the part of the university, we could have additional time, but I think that the urgency comes from some very specific timelines that are approaching for the foundation. I think that Montana State University had submitted this item for the May meeting, actually, so that we could have more ample time to have this conversation. And unfortunately, at the time, we needed to move that. I understand it's a difficult situation for the regions, but I also want to underline the commitment on the part of the university to continue these conversations with the tenants.
Chair Albrecht, may I make a comment?
Yes. Is that Vice President Lease?
No, this is Chris Murray. I'm the president and CEO of the MSU Alumni Foundation.
Oh, hi, Chris. Absolutely.
Hi. I just want to reiterate what Terry said, and that is that we've been in the planning for this eventuality for some time. The property has a mortgage payment due coming up this fall, and so what the foundation is faced with is either selling the building on the open market or keeping it, as somebody mentioned earlier, I thought very eloquently, in the family. Many of these tenants who are wonderful people and have been aware of this eventuality, I think for some time, are on month-to-month leases for this very reason, for the flexibility of having the ability to either sell the building or to enter into a lease with MSU to keep the building in the family. So I understand their concerns, and we will also pledge along with MSU to work with them to find space as we can for them during this transition. But the reality is, the financial reality is that if this gets delayed today, the foundation will be in a position where we will have to sell the building to satisfy that financial mortgage that comes due here in the fall. And the other reason that we had tried to have this on the May meeting, again, was to give us a little bit more runway. We are now at the end of that runway and need to make a decision, hopefully as successfully today, to allow this building to serve the needs of our students at MSU.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr.
Madam
Murray.
Chair, Madam Chair?
Yes.
I guess.
Regent Nystuen.
Thank you. Thank you, ma'am. I guess in the spirit of we could debate this for a considerable period of time. I think we've heard from the parties, the plea from the existing tenants, but on the other hand, the importance of doing this for the students, and obviously in consideration of the all-important foundation that supports the MSU campus. I would, if appropriate, move for a request for authorization into an off-campus lease for University Sport Function MSU Bozeman.
The motion has been made. Any other questions, comments?
I have one.
Yes, Regent Sheehy.
I have a comment and a question, and I'll do the comment first. My comment is I'm not sure postponement helps us here. This is obviously a dilemma created by the success and the enrollment at MSU, and a couple of months isn't going to solve that dilemma, so I'm not sure postponement is going to make this any easier. My question is to either Chris or Terry, and I think, Chris, it was you who said you're faced with the possibility of selling this on the open market. My question is this facility part of the transfer of property from MSU? I think is this on Innovation Campus, and is it subject to those restrictions within the transfer that require that facility be used for educational purposes and for the benefit of MSU Bozeman?
Vice President Least?
Yes.
Or Chris? Or Chris Murray?
Yeah. Well, in 1985, when the original land was transferred over for the ATI Park as a whole, which now has morphed into really 11 different landholders, and I don't want to take up all of your time today on your meeting to go into the long saga of this entity. To summarize, there were some codicils, if you will, in 1985 that were part of the original transfer. These parcels now are in multiple people's hands, and I don't know if I can answer your question specifically, but there was, at the very early stage, many years ago in the original transfer, there was some language about for the benefit of MSU. And so at the end of the day, I would argue that this lease is ultimately for the benefit of MSU and is consistent with that. If we were to sell the building, I think that's a question we would have to undertake at some point. But the reality is, Regent Sheehy, that this building has got to either be sold or be leased literally now in order to for the foundation to be able to satisfy its financial obligation.
Okay. And my question, Chris, is basically, can you sell this on the open market, or is there an idea that perhaps we'd have to buy it back from you given the restrictions of the 1985 transfer?
So we've looked at this and had our legal counsel look at it. We believe we have the ability to sell it on the open market.
Okay.
and have to do that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any further comments or questions? We have the motion to approve on the table.
Hello.
Yes.
This is Brandy Witcherly again with GTC Technology. And there are just a couple things. One comment that you had made was the impact on the students. And I would like to let you know that my company alone, which is a rather, you know, it's not a horribly large company, but anyway, we've employed, over the time we've been here, over 100 co-op and intern students from Montana State University, and 80% of our full-time engineers are from Montana State University. And also I heard you say that this building was only 15% occupied. Well, this building is comprised of three units. It's 900, 910, and 920. The 900 building, I believe, is 100% occupied. The 910 building, which I'm part of, and as is Mike Callett, who's here with me today, that is mostly, I mean, most of it, it's mostly mm-hmm. occupied. There's probably only 15% of it that's not occupied. Then the 920 building is the only part that's only 15% occupied. But we have a much higher occupancy than is being said here. And also the comment by, I believe it was
President Murray.
Yeah, Mr. Murray, he had said that we had been told this. Well, we have been kept in the dark. We didn't know, there wasn't any of that information made available to us, specifically not for months. I know that my lease was not allowed to be renewed, but I was told that I could not be given any information as to why it would not be renewed.
And this is Mike Callett with Omega Biologicals, a leaseholder in the Opera Building. I would like to state that last November, Sensipath Technologies, their lease expired. They attempted to try and find space in the Gallatin Valley. They were unable to do so. They were forced to return a $1.5 million grant. They closed down and laid off two employees. We are concerned that we will not be able to find adequate space and that we will be forced to do the same thing.
Further questions or comments from members of the board, campuses, or the public? Seeing none, all in favor in approval of this motion, signify by saying aye. Opposed, no.
Aye.
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 Motion passes. Thank you all for your commentary and for helping to clarify this topic. I'm going to now move on to item D, which is request for authorization to enter into off-campus lease for research space, MSU Bozeman. Commissioner Christian?
Madam Chair, thank you for that. Again, we can turn to the campus for more specifics. I would also, though, offer support from this office on moving this project forward. There's some precedents within the system. We did a very similar building in Missoula years ago that is now, I think, almost fully occupied and has been a very successful project. It does create workspace and allow for new opportunities for research and within the grant world. It is admittedly expensive space. But frankly, I like the fact that we're paying as much as we possibly can early on and then move to an agreement where there's a perpetual lease without cost, in that, you know, there's uncertainties within the grant world and within research. I like that we're paying as much as we can early on. In a perfect world, I'd like to see us pay it off in 5 years because it's a little more of a certainty. So I think there's a bit of a leap of faith, but I think we've been successful with this in the past, and I think they've got a reasonable plan worked out to have the building constructed, and will provide some great opportunities for research at MSU. President Cruzado, do you want to add anything?
Yes, thank you again, Mr. Commissioner, Madam Chair, members of the board. We have come in front of the regents. I think that this is the third time where we have had an opportunity to introduce this project to you. We have also been working very diligently with the arrival of Vice President for Research, Renee Rejo-Pera, and in collaboration with our faculty members. We have identified new areas of growth for our research endeavors. We at Montana State University have been very successful in some very specific areas, for example, just to mention one, the ones related to optics. And we do think that now and into the future, there are great opportunities for us to capitalize on those opportunities by having our faculty members, our graduate and undergraduate students, additional opportunities for applied research. With that, I would like to ask Vice President Rejo-Pera and Vice President Lees to provide any additional information that they think will enrich the regents at this moment. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the board. This is Renee Rejo-Pera, the Vice President for Research and Economic Development. Thank you for the opportunity to talk to you today about our efforts to expand research through the establishment of an applied research laboratory. It was noted in the posted item that Montana State University currently conducts approximately $20 million of research that could be further expanded by the capabilities of a classified research facility. The ARL, or Applied Research Laboratory, would provide the space required for faculty with research in optics, engineering, computer science, and space technology, to obtain contracts and grants that are focused on national security. We currently cannot apply for or even hear about these opportunities. ARL will also provide access to the local Montana technology industry to support their work through the Department of Defense and Department of Energy in contracts to them. And again, currently these contracts cannot be brought into the state of Montana. We did conduct a feasibility study in 2016, and this study collected information from internal sources, faculty, staff, and administration, external local entities, companies, and collaborators, and then national sources such as the Navy, Army, other applied research laboratories, and government representatives. The feasibility study addressed the unique position at Montana State University to pursue this research, comparable programs at other universities, the benefits of expanding classified work programs at Montana State University and in Montana, the what is at stake if we choose not to go down this route, concerns associated with pursuing this type of work, and then the conditions that are in place now that suggest success. The ARL planned for Montana State University is modeled most closely after successful programs at other universities, especially Utah State University, which has a similar geographic, demographic, and technical expertise as we have. And based on our feasibility analysis, we would anticipate that we could grow our research programs, our applied research programs in particular, by tens to perhaps $100 million in expenditures per year. So as noted in the posted item, we're seeking support to establish the laboratory by leasing space not to exceed $1.7 million annually in the lease, with $300,000 in annual operations and maintenance expenses. Thank you.
Terry, thank you, Vice President Rio Pera. Pardon me? Question or
thank you.
Question or comments from other members of the board? Additional comments or questions from members of the campus or the public?
Madam Chair, this is Regent Johnstone. I did have one question if I might.
Yes, go ahead. Yes, go ahead.
I don't know how far you are down the road in terms of the specific terms and provisions of the lease agreement, but has legal counsel at both the campus and the Regent level reviewed this to assure that the structure is in compliance with existing law?
Chair and Regents, this is Kelly Peterson, legal counsel at the Bozeman campus. We have been working diligently both here on campus and with outside legal counsel to get the agreements, and there are multiple agreements here, to the best position we can for the campus. And we expect that they should be nearly finalized the end of this week, and I will be working with Viv Hamill to make sure that they're acceptable from the OG perspective as well.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments from members of the board, campuses, or the public? Seeing none, I would entertain a motion to address item D for the authorization to enter into an off-campus lease for research space MSU Bozeman.
So moved.
Move to approve, Regent Tuss. Any further comments? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, no.
Aye.
Motion passes. Thank you. Thank you all for the information. I'd like to move to item D, request for authorization to increase spending authority replacement of outdoor track MSU Bozeman. Commissioner Christian, can you tee this one up?
Madam Chair, I was slow and couldn't jump very well, so
We've asked the most athletic of the group, Mr. Ron Muffick, to address this item.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Madam Chair, members of the board.
I'll wait for everyone to quit laughing. All right, Madam Chair, members of the board, item E, the request for authorization to increase spending authority for replacing the track at Bozeman. This is a fairly minor adjustment to authorization for expending private funds. You may recall on May 4th, 2017 board conference call, the board approved $1.25 million in spending authority for the replacement of the track. This item merely asks for an additional $250,000 in spending authority to complete the project, which will increase the total amount to $1.5 million, obviously. $250,000 increase is due to existing site conditions. Additional work requirements to the subsurface were discovered during the replacement process. Basically, the subsurface on a portion of the track was discovered to be clay, and the new track will not drain properly or lie properly on clay. Clay is the type of dirt that is, yes. This project, again, is entirely funded with private donations, and it requires authorization of the board and consent of the governor. Just to ask if the campus has any additional details they'd like to provide.
Any additional commentary from the campuses?
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is Terry Lee. I just thank you, Ron, for explaining that so well. And yeah, we did some core sampling beforehand before we brought this to the board earlier in May, and everything looked good subsurface. But then once they got the top off, it became apparent that the west end of the track had some issues that needed to be addressed. So we would appreciate your consideration for increasing the authority, and our generous donor has wonderfully taken care of these additional costs. Thank you.
Thank you, Vice President Lee. Additional comments or questions from members of the board?
Madam Chair, I would move approval of this item.
Thank you. Regent Johnstone has moved approval. Further discussion? Seeing none, there is a motion to approve. All in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, no.
Aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Motion passes. Thank you. I would like to now move on to the staff items. Commissioner Christian.
Madam Chair, thank you. You have before you staff items A through H, and they comprise of a variety of different components, which include things like new hires. All the new hires would be the culmination of a competitive search. I know OCHI has one, and that's certainly the case. You have tenure items. You do have, uniquely in this group, some of the OCHI reorganization items that I've spoke about for the last couple meetings. As you well know, we've undergone some change. We've eliminated two deputy commissioner positions. With that, I've said that we will need to look to strengthen other areas of staff, potentially at the director levels. So we have reorganized ourselves a bit, but I would say that this is one step in a process. I don't believe it's the end. I think it is the beginning, and I think that a number of conversations are yet to be had as we look at the MUS and what role OCHI plays in that. We will need to continue those conversations. We ultimately reduced about $300,000 worth of expense and are adding back about $100,000 of expense. And we have budgeted for, within this biennium, the inclusion of what potentially would be two additional positions. That said, we believe that this is a plan that will help us live within our means for the biennium and better serve the needs of the MUS. Again, I don't think we're at the end of the rope, but a step in the right direction. So you have those items in front of you. And then lastly, I would mention that you have what I believe is the completion of the 2017 salary increases that were offered to roughly 8,900 employees across the system. For reasons within board policy, about 80 individuals are carved out of what otherwise would have been a system-wide effort and require board approval, and those are before you. And I guess I would make a few comments about those. One, we allowed, we being OCHI, the campuses who are best suited to and in charge of their budgets to make a choice between retroactivity or not. Some of the campuses prepared for that along the last 2 years throughout the biennium by accruing for potential increases, which started, as you know, a year and a half ago. So we allowed them in presenting their budgets to do so. While the majority by campus chose to at least propose to you a January implementation date, I want to make note that that only represents about 20% of the total spend that is being requested in this item. While there's more campuses, there is more funds that are conglomerated about around some of the ones that chose the later date of July 1. As you know, it's not apples to apples of what is in each of these items. So just keep that in mind as you consider that. And then the last thing I would make is that we have considered what would happen if the triggers are implemented, and we believe that we can implement these 2017 increases for the last 80 individuals with where we stand, even if the triggers are implemented. But would certainly hold caution that that is not necessarily a statement that would be carried forward into 18-19. That's a discussion that we'll have to take guidance from the legislature on what they approve for a pay plan, and then work with our bargaining units throughout the system to see where we will be if those triggers do not hit, or if those triggers hit and we do not have those funds available. But for this round, a little slow in being implemented, but we have the funds available. Madam Chair, would certainly stand for questions on any of these items, in particular OCHI, and we have campus people on the line that can answer specific ones about the campuses, if there are some.
Commissioner Christian, I would like to, could you ask for clarification? This, the 80 individuals that we chose to defer in January for later consideration, if so chosen to do so, what percentages of is that group for the total campus that was also approved, already approved for those increases? And then what kind of an amount of funds does that 2% represent?
$2 million.
Madam Chair, Tyler and Frieda are doing math like great maniacs here, but I mean, it's a
back of the envelope. Madam Chair, this is Tyler. Back of the envelope to implement 2% increase across the entire university system is going to be somewhere in the neighborhood of $2.5 million. And so for this group, for an annual increase for these 80, it's $171,000. So it's a very micro percent.
It's less than a percent of total, Madam Chair.
And again, that was in the previous biennium that ended 6/30/17, correct?
That's correct.
Yes.
Okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I would go ahead and be open for questions.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
Madam Chair, this is
Regent Nystuen.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Commissioner. So I think where we are today is that Chair Albrecht and I have had individual, I emphasize that, discussions with the regents. And from my observations, there's various opinions with no clear or majority opinion as to how to proceed with this. We, I think, need to acknowledge the proposal has been put forth by Commissioner Christian, our CEO, and we want to thank him for that. I surmise that we have regents that would like a 0% increase for this group of 80. In contrast, I surmise we have regents at the other end of the spectrum that would prefer that we adopt the proposal as presented at 2%. I surmise we may have regents preferring to selectively target individual campuses, individuals, or even sections
And to get that granular, I think that's not appropriate, with the exception of the Board of Regents clearly having a say in the CEO of the campuses and the commissioner. But I would remind us that we're a governing board. We set policy. We hear recommendations from the commissioner, and we act accordingly, but not at a granulated individual level, with the exception of those three individuals. Today, what I'd like to do to cue up the conversation is to seek some level of compromise, common ground, to hopefully resolve this matter. As you know, in striking any type of a compromise, there are elements any of us individually would like or dislike, but it's toward a common goal that's for the best possible outcome that we're working towards. The reality is the state of Montana and the last legislature sent us a message that we can't fund the university system at the same level. We need to tighten our belts, which we're doing. We need to look for efficiencies. And I think they treated us fairly. However, we as regents approved modest tuition increases after considerable legwork, information gathering, and listening sessions, and so forth. I asked Commissioner Christian a couple days ago, if we adopt the increases as proposed, will this create further budget challenges for his offices and the campuses? And as you just heard him say, no. We can make it, get it done financially, even potentially breaking the gap if the triggers do indeed take effect. From my vantage point here on Main Street in Western Montana, I see every day the challenges of managing our human capital and doing it with an operating environment that costs more. And I got to believe our campuses are in a similar position. I see the everyday challenges of retaining a skilled workforce, professional workforce, and then being able to go out and attract qualified workers. I think we as regents need to understand we can't turn a blind eye to the people on our campuses that deliver successes for us day in and day out, year in and year out. They need to be fairly compensated, not just within the system, but they need to remain competitive within the private sector as well. Doing no increases, in my opinion, would be foolhardy. Doing a full 2% as proposed doesn't square with me either, considering what we've just experienced the last 6 months. Therefore, I'd like to offer this compromise and put it in the form of a motion for further discussion. Then we take the commissioner's proposal, and where you see the column with the percent change of 2%, reduce it to 1.5%, all effective July 1st, 2017. Still allow for the increases to stand for promotions, higher duties and responsibilities in the stipend. But ultimately, this motion is intended to send a message of fiscal responsibility coupled with an investment in the human capital of the Montana University system. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Chair Albrecht,
you,
if I may.
Regent, thank you, Regent Nystuen. There's a motion on the table. Further discussion. Regent Greenfield.
Thank you, Chair Albrecht. Thank you very much, Vice Chair Nystuen, for that comprehensive overview and for what I think is a very reasonable motion. I would also like to take a moment to express my thoughts on the general proposal in front of us for each of these items. As I've spent the majority of my time reviewing this portion of the agenda so far, and I want to also preface my thoughts with a sincere thank you to all our staff and administrators across the system for their hard work on this, and for especially Deputy Commissioner McRae's explanations and history that he gave me as a new regent. I really value each administrator's and head coach's individual contributions to higher education in Montana. I want to clarify that all of my thoughts on this have been focused on the appropriateness of these raises based on their justification and their context rather than any individual's merit. And I also feel the need to explain my personal philosophy on personnel raises, especially in our current financial climate in the Montana University system. I apologize for the length of this, but I feel that this is important to say. As we've already discussed a little bit earlier, state funding for higher education was cut for the first time in many years during the 2017 legislative session. The $11 million or so hole left by the state is to be filled, from my understanding, by two system-wide certainties, which are tuition increases for students and personnel changes and reductions. The exact relationship of those revenue increases and cost decreases will be subject to the individual campuses in the system based on our tuition rates that we have set for the biennium and the board cannot control what will happen to the majority of the faculty and staff raises and compensation levels on any individual campus, then frankly, nor should we. However, we are charged to oversee the salaries of several of our system's employees, and each one of us has been asked to evaluate the feasibility of these raises for specific individuals. And I want to assert my overall belief is that a guaranteed annual system-wide raises, annual system of raises and decreases is unsustainable and does not provide or provide inspiration for employees to better their performances, whether that person is a faculty member, a staff member, an administrator, or even a student employee. Across the board, yearly raises can incentivize our talented personnel to stay at their institutions rather than seeking opportunities. But at the same time, we have to balance this back with our financial capacity to increase wages. It's my firm belief that across-the-board raises are dangerous in a time when enrollment projections across the state are flat for the next decade or so. We don't anticipate having more total students in the Montana University system as a whole for many years, and as such, I must question the proposals to continue to increase our employees' salaries across the entire system as our resources continue to stagnate or diminish. Individual campuses will grow and shrink, but our system currently ignores these factors and instead gives universal raises regardless of the resources available to a unit. This practice doesn't seem sustainable for the long term in my point of view. Certainly, one could argue that all of these raises combined will only account for a small percentage of an increase, but we often neglect that this is a roughly $170,000 cost that we will have to pay every year from here on out, and that this raise will also be compounded with future raises. Perhaps my central concern with raises is that their costs will be put on the backs of students or will be retrieved by vacancy and layoff savings at each institution. My peers were just asked to pay more for the exact same education that their predecessors received. I'm frankly quite disappointed to see this fact disregarded in this proposal on wage increases. I especially struggle with this for campuses that have experienced declining enrollment over the past several years, especially those in Missoula and Billings. As a philosophy student, I've been taught to examine moral quandaries, and in my examination, it doesn't seem quite right to give out raises to people while others will be receiving termination letters, while tuition is increasing for students, and while state support for higher education has begun to decline. All of that lengthy comment said, I believe that there is justification for new hires and reorganizational pay changes and some wage increases on campuses. I would urge the board to consider dividing these items currently organized into campuses into further subsections for a vote, for example, separating out the new hire, reorganization, reassignment, tenure, and other categories of each of the campuses so that regents like myself who are a little bit divided on this are not forced to wholly support or oppose a campus's proposal, and their thoughts on specific sections can be considered separately. As Regent Berkey said at the end of the last meeting about a particular fee proposal, it is unfair and disingenuous to lump together these distinct items in one vote, forcing anyone with a favorable viewpoint on one of these sections to support the rest of the sections that they might not approve of. Thanks for the time on this. I know that was a very lengthy comment, but I wanted to give a full background and a comment to the full board and the public on this, as I think is probably a very important issue.
Thank you, Regent Greenfield. Again, I'll remind everyone we have a motion on the table. Other further discussion and commentary from members of the board?
I have a question about the motion.
Yes,
and a comment.
Sheehy.
My question I'm trying to clarify what the motion is. I think Bob is trying to replace the 2% with 1.5%. I wanted to clarify, Bob, is it 1.5% across the board or 1.5% for everything that was 2%, because there are some special items that go beyond the 2%.
Good question, Regent Sheehy. My intent for the motion was, again, to take a look at where you see 2% in the column called percentage change, that we adjust that to 1.5%, okay? For example, if there is an individual, I'm not trying to select them out, but just for illustrative purposes, Brian Solomon is at 5.16. Allow that to go through for retention purposes. I'm looking, most everything else in that column, with the exception of the reorganization, and reassignments in the commissioner's office. Virtually every other number is 2%, and the intent of my motion to cue this up for discussion was to change this to 1.5. So the third column from the right would be changed to 1.5 if it says.
Gotcha. Second clarification question, this one for Fran. Is the motion, Fran, is this a motion that we need to make in order to continue discussing, or do we need to vote on a modification so that we can proceed discussing, or where are we with the motion? Is this a motion to modify?
This is a motion that is currently standing. Certainly, if others want to request an amendment or substitute, I would follow the rules of order, Robert's rules.
Okay, I guess I'm with that. May I now make my comments on it?
Yes.
Okay. My comments are these, couple of different topics. First, as to the 2% raises, I agree with much of what Bob said. I think we delayed this decision from January to get some direction from the legislature. I also believe that my role as a regent is to listen to Montanans as well, and over the past 6 months I've heard from Montanans. The message I received from both of these groups is that the 2% raises are not in the best interest of the system at this time. For this biennium, the legislature approved basically $1,040 raises in 2015 and 2016, which is 50 cents per hour. In the 2017 session, which doesn't apply to this, but I'm listening, the legislature passed a pay plan that provides for 1% and 1% in 2017 and 2018, respectively. Those are for state employees. We've learned today that, I think it was Tyler Trevor who told us that we are expecting additional cuts to our across the board, across the state, as a result of declining revenues. So to the extent that the legislative branch has sent us and other agencies a message, I'm hearing it. And it coincides with what I've heard from members of the public. I would be comfortable with the $1,040 raise approved by the legislature across the board. I guess, you know, I could also, in the spirit of compromise, support a 1% across the board with no retroactivity. I'm reluctant to go as high as 1.5% because that's just not the message that I received. That has nothing to do with the merit of our employees, their value, and I know that that's hard to hear as an employee because sometimes value is tied up in pay. But I think that my role is to look at the economy of our state, look at the economy of our system, and make my decisions based on that. So that's where I'm sitting at this point. I'd also like to say that with respect to the item A, which is the OCHI raises, we have six items there that are well beyond 2%, and they're part of a reorganization. And while it looks like we're saving money, and I think we will be, I applaud those efforts, it's clear that this reorganization has not finished and that there will be new hires. I think Commissioner Christian has already told us that. And I'm supportive of that. I think there are things that we need to fill in at OCHI that would be extraordinarily helpful to the system as a whole. So I'm not looking at this as a finished process, and with that in mind, I think that we're paying too much at the outset of some of this reorganization. For example, we're paying over $100,000 to our new associate legal counsel. The former counsel was paid $76,000. That's a big jump in that position with no change really in the position. As to the other five positions, I again think that those salaries are not in line with other employees in Montana's public sector. And for the other five, these were not competitive hires, but promotions from within. I look at the Director of Insurance and Benefits. Our former director was paid $116,000. We are proposing to pay our new director $4,000 more as a new hire or a new person to this position, more than the last person ended at. A lot of these, I just think we're starting these positions too high. For example, our state auditor makes $92,000 a year and oversees a $19 million budget. I can't see paying our director of insurance and benefits more than our auditor at the outset at this level. I have the same comments about the others, and you can do your own research. I've done some for you about what people are making in the public sector in Montana. I understand that we also look at the national setting, but the budget that we're dealing with and the economy that we're dealing with is Montana's economy. I want to specifically say that I do not agree with the raise for the position of Deputy for Budget and Planning and Chief of Staff. It has nothing to do with Deputy Trevor. I think he is fabulous, and I was very much in favor of providing a bonus for the extraordinary work he did for us when we were short-staffed during the legislative session. So my objection to that raise is not with regard to performance. It's regard to adding to the base for this, to the extent that we're about to add to the base or that the proposal adds to the base. So as to the 2%, I just can't go as high as 1.5% based on what I've heard. And as to the OT reorganization staff items, I think we're just starting much too high with these new positions, and that it's going to curtail our efforts to fill the additional positions that are necessary. Thank you.
Thank you, Regent Sheehy. Further discussion?
Yeah, Madam Chair, this is Regent Lozar.
Yes.
I just had a comment, and I wanted to start off by thanking Deputy Commissioner McCray for all the work he does with our bargaining units, and you kind of look back to the history of the biennium that we're discussing here as it relates to the agreements that were collective bargaining agreements that all but 80 individuals participated in. And I know it, throughout the summer of 2015, we did some early collective bargaining agreements setting that 50 cents for hourlies and 2% for our salaried contract personnel. And at that time, the Board of Regents directed and guided OCHE to extend the same wage and salary increases to our non-union personnel. As those units continued to, the bargaining continued with those units, we landed on those same figures of 50 cents and 2%. January of 16, the Board of Regents approved those for the 80 positions that we're discussing today, minus the reorganization and reassignment positions. And I think we've been fiscally responsible, to piggyback on what Regent Nystuen said, of understanding where exactly we're at as a state and our state revenues. And we did the right thing by postponing this decision on these particular positions. There's a part of me that struggles with the 1.5% in the sense that there are 80 individuals based on a timing that aren't able to participate in the 2% and the 50 cent, in this case 2%, that the rest of the our staff and employees participate over the 2017 biennium. In terms of equity, that doesn't seem necessarily consistent, but I understand exactly where we're at. I think as it relates to the reorganization and reassignment, I think it's a challenge looking at board precedent and the authority that we have as Board of Regents to make comparisons. General comparisons to the general pay band system that public agencies follow, as indicated by the legislature and our processes at the state government. So I don't know if that is an apples to apples comparison, and I think that's something that we need to be considering as we look at a number of different things, the balancing our collective bargaining agreements, being competitive in the marketplace for key positions in a system such as ours, and that balance of the direction that we know the legislature has taken with the most recent budget cuts and the 1% proposal for pay compensation increases over the upcoming biennium. All those items sort of considered, I agree with with the proposal that Bob has put forward, that a compromise that shows fiscal responsibilities, a compromise ensure that we're being conscious to many of the points that Regent Greenfield mentioned as it relates to the impact on students and the tuition, modest tuition increases that we had, that I think the 1.5 is very responsible. And I also think moving that to a July 1st deadline is in another way an indication that we're listening to our constituents, not only the legislature, but listening to the Montana public and listening to the employees who over the last 6 months have been working without any percent change in their compensation and frankly are doing a good job ensuring that our university system is in a good place. So with that, Madam Chair, I just wanted to state my support of the 1.5% motion that we have on the table. Additionally, I would agree with Regent Sheehy and her review and reflection on the fact that there are additional things that we need to do different in OCHE as it relates to OCHE staff. We've had a lot of conversations in particular around cost savings and shared services, and I would hope that as we're looking at this round two or round three of a reorganization or reassignments within OCHE, that we're considering those specific needs that are theoretically going to help us be more efficient and drive overall cost down for the system. Madam Chair.
Thank you, Regent Losar. Other comments, further discussion from the board?
Madam Chair, this is Regent
Johnstone.
There's been a lot said and a lot of very thoughtful, wise comments made, and I'm not going to extend the comment period significantly. One question for both Regent, the student regent and Regent Xi, a procedural question, and I did not hear any amendment or proposed amendment or substitutions to the motion, and I don't know whether they intend to make those. I would like to hear that before we actually take this to a vote. I will support the motion. I think the motion reflects an effort to recognize, respect, and address various interests and concerns. As with any compromise, any one of us would have written it somewhat differently, but I think it's a responsible way to address the concerns that have been raised, both the interests of the employees, the need to be competitive, and the interest to respect legislature's direction and fiscal responsibility. So I will support the motion, but I would like to have some clarification from Martha and Chase as to whether or not they would like to offer amendments.
This is
thank
Martha. Thank you, Regent Johnstone. Regent Sheehy.
Bill, because I can count, I won't make an amendment motion.
Thank you, Regent Sheehy. Regent Greenfield.
Similarly, I feel that the majority of the board is on board with the proposal, and I don't have a specific amendment. I will say that I don't think that the proposed motion adequately addresses each individual campus's capacity and resource availability, and I think that that is a shortfall that I would like to see addressed in this, and therefore I cannot support the motion.
Regent Tuss. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Was that Regent Johnstone?
Just one follow-up comment. I do feel strongly that in the future and going forward, we need to give further thought to our process. I appreciate the comments of Regent Greenfield with respect to the opportunity to look for more ways to do variable compensation. I think that's appropriate, particularly at the senior levels. I also would like us to give further consideration to the entire process of approving 80 particular compensation levels at the region's level. I would prefer to have a process in place where the regions are responsible for providing policy and guidance direction,
but that we approve the compensation only for the senior managers and executives and delegate to them and hold them accountable for fixing compensation for the junior employees.
Thank you, Regent Johnstone. Regent Tess, I believe I heard you earlier. I didn't know if you had additional comments.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair, and I certainly don't want to prolong this conversation. I'm very much in support of the motion by Regent Nystuen. It is indeed a compromise. I do have some of the same concerns that that Regent Lozar brought up. Through no fault of their own, I'm concerned about the fairness factor here with regard to these 80-plus employees. We have, in essence, in the past, approved 2% raises for thousands of employees within our system at the faculty and staff levels. And because these individuals are classified differently, and because of the concern that we had in January with regard to what was or was not going to happen during the legislative session, we're now at a point where these particular individuals, these hardworking employees of the Montana University system, are getting less than what they would have received had they been classified differently. I have a deep concern about that. But in general, given all the prior comments by everybody else who has spoke at this point, I am in support of Regent Nystuen's motion. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Regent Huss. Further discussion from members of the board? Further discussion from members of the campuses or the public?
Madam Chair, this is Wadette Cruzado from Montana State University, and I thank you for this conversation. I would like to share with the regents a concern in regards to the motion, and that is relative to head coaches' contracts. I know that the regents don't want to continue separating these individuals, but in head coaches' contracts are different in that they include specific language that talks about the head coaches receiving and the coaches receiving the same salary increase as the rest of the employees with the same date of effectiveness. So I have been concerned about this ever since the January meeting that we are out of compliance with a very important segment of our employees.
Thank you, President Cruzado. Chief Counsel Viv Hamill, is there something that you can provide us for advisement on this particular issue with regard to legal compliance?
Madam Chair, our HR guy, I think if it's all right, we'll ask Kevin to comment on that.
Those individuals. Okay. Those individual employment contracts do not entitle a head coach pays, but they do say that the employer can increase the pay above the specified contractual amount consistent with raises approved for other employees. In this case, the raises for other employees would be 1.5% effective July 1 of 2017.
So if this motion passes, the implication for those particular contracts are?
The coaches would receive the same raise, 1.5% effective July 1st of 2017.
Okay, so we would be in compliance.
Madam Chair, we certainly believe that if this motion was to pass, we would be in compliance. The underlying clause is the contracts always read subject to board approval, and this is the approval process, and they would be consistent with other employees within that category. So while I appreciate the concern, I think it's one we've thought out, and we believe that we would be compliant.
Thank
Chair
you,
Mr. Alford.
Martha. Yes, Regent Sheehy.
I just want to jump in here. I think that this concern really highlights Bill's suggestion that we think of a new process for doing this. I think all of us grapple with not interfering with the collectively bargained. Most of our other employees are collectively bargained, and we're not going to interfere in that process. So while we approve those raises, that's not really something that we're involved in. And these 80 we do look at, and even as we get down to these 80, as we go through this approval process, there are 80 different situations. So I would recommend and second the emotion of Bill's comments regarding our process. Thank you.
Thank you, Regent Sheehy. I heard another comment. Yes,
yeah,
Regent Greenfield.
Thank you. So as a clarification from Vice Chair Nystuen, does this motion also, I'm assuming yes, but does this motion also include tenure awards for the specific campuses that have those proposals for faculty?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Okay, further discussion? Members of the public, campuses, or the board? Seeing none, I'll call for the vote. All in favor, signify by saying aye, and I ask for a roll call, Amy.
Fran?
Your name and your vote. Yes.
Did you ask for public comment?
I did.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I missed it. Thank you.
Yeah. No, but you know what? I did say it quickly. Members of the board, is it the members of the campuses, the public, or the board? If I didn't state that clearly, certainly if there's members of the public that have not had the opportunity to share, I would go ahead and reiterate that. Members of the public, public comment? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye, opposed no, and I would request a roll call. Amy?
Certainly. Happy to do so. Regent Lozar?
Aye.
Regent Greenfield?
No.
Regent Sheehy?
No.
Regent Johnstone?
Aye.
Regent Nystuen?
Aye.
Regent Tuss?
Yes.
And Chair Albrecht?
Aye. Motion passes. Thank you all for the helpful, thoughtful, informative conversation. And as your chair, I just want to thank this board for the ability to have such thoughtful, transparent conversation about such critical issues. And I also look forward to discussing processes, policy, and procedure moving forward so we can continue to improve upon some of these processes. At this point, I would like to move on to the student appeal.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I promise not to belabor, but if I could, 2 minutes.
Yes, Commissioner.
Madam Chair, I just want to say thank you for the work of the board and your diligence in hearing all constituent groups and trying to act upon that. I want to let you know that I hear Martha and, I'm sorry, Regent Sheehy and Regent Lozar, and I want to assure you all that we are looking at the structure of OCHE. We are incredibly driven to see shared services work, not only at the campus level, but across the system, not only in the hemispheres, but across the system. And I believe all of that together will help contain administrative costs as best we can, and we will certainly look at that. I don't want to seem defensive, and I didn't say anything before, but I do want you all as a board and the public to know I appreciate Regent Sheehy's concerns very much. But I would also say behind each of those hires and increases, there is more to the story as people would expect. The attorney example is, yes, paid significantly more than the previous attorney who left us to go to work at another public institution in a similar or lesser role at $122,000. We extended invitation publicly for candidates. Had some withdraw even at the current pay rate, and we got an outstanding, capable person. So it's just always more complicated, and I don't think it serves us to go through in every one of those, but I do want to make certain that you all as board members know we are incredibly conscious of that. I appreciate Regent Sheehy's concern. I share that. We will continue to be as frugal and diligent as we can with student and taxpayer dollars. We'll continue to move the OCH structure forward to best serve MUS, and we'll continue to work on shared services. Lastly, I agree with many of the comments. Regent Johnstone's suggestion, this is something I will tell you that we have been discussing as this item came along with your board leadership, Regent Nystuen, Regent Albrecht, as to the logic behind some of these that have been carved out. Previous boards, in a sense, delegated this in that it was always dealt with on a consent agenda. I understand completely why it shouldn't be there and why this board needs to deliberate on those, but there is a part that the campuses need to manage their affairs, and we will look at those items and consider bringing some revisions consistent with the comments today back to you later in the fall. Thank you for your good work on this, and we appreciate your consideration, your thoughtful amendment, Regent Nystuen, and we will make do with where we are, and we will be incredibly thankful for the board for the hard work that you've done.
Thank you, Clay.
Thank you, Commissioner.
The student appeal, Madam Chair, I will leave to you.
Yes. Next on the agenda is one student appeal. You have each received the commissioner's decision and the written appeal with supporting documents submitted by the student. The issue before the board is solely to determine whether to hear the appeal at a later meeting. Board of Regents policy does not require the board to entertain these appeals if we are satisfied with the commissioner's review and decision. This appeal is confidential, so we will not be addressing the student by name or even identifying the campus involved, nor will we address the facts or the specific issues today. The sole issue today is whether any regent believes the issues addressed in the commissioner's decision needs further review at the board level. If you do not wish to hear the appeal at the Board of Regents level, it is not necessary to make a motion. A lack of action on our part will signify our decision not to hear the case. Are there any general questions as to this procedure before we go to the appeal? Hearing none, the student appeal, I will entertain a motion to hear this appeal. Hearing no motion to hear this appeal, the request that we entertain this appeal is denied. The commissioner's decision is upheld. Thank you. At this point in the agenda, I would open it up to public comment.
We would like to enter a formal comment into the record, please.
Yes, please state your name.
My name is Mike Hallett. Madam Chair and members of the Board of Regents, on behalf of my colleagues with businesses located in the NOPR complex, we are disappointed that the Board of Regents has chosen to abandon the technology incubator model in the Advanced Technology Park in Bozeman. We hope that Montana State University will give us enough time to relocate our businesses so that we do not have to close down as Sensopath Technology was forced to do in November 2016. Thank you for your time and consideration.
Thank you. Further public comment.
Madam Board Chair, this is Elsie Arnson, the Superintendent of Public Instruction. I've been listening to your meeting, and I know and I understand that there are a lot of issues, and the issue that you described today is investing in your human capital. That is the leaders that you have in our university system across our state. I myself, when it comes to raises, mine is statutorial, and I have declined my raise, but an understanding that is very challenging at this time. And I understand there's being reorganization within OCHE. my help with this would be anything that we can do to ensure taxpayer dollar being spread between our K-12 system as well as the investment of the students that come out of the K-12 system into higher education. My job with you then in deepening that relationship can ensure that that taxpayer dollar, that precious dollar, is used to the ultimate end and to an efficient end. So it's a very challenging board discussion. I understand the discussion of talking about people. And, of course, going forward with reorganization, I'd be happy to be at the table with that. Thank you, Board Chair.
Thank you. Further public comment? Further public comment? Hearing none, I would entertain a motion to adjourn today's meeting as we've completed our business.
So moved.
Thank you, Regent Greenstone. All in favor to adjourn, signify by saying aye.
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 Thank you. Thank you all for your time today. This meeting is officially adjourned. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you.